Amen. Thank you so much. Twos and threes, fours and fives. You may be dismissed. Ephesians chapter 4 in the Word of God, if you would, please. And just a couple of quick other things I forgot to say. Cody's back there. Didn't get to be here last Sunday for our graduate fellowship, but did graduate Friday night, so I'm glad he's here today. And then my wife has some resources from yesterday's conference, some books about right thinking and so forth. If someone would like to see her, then she can give you some information about that if you'd like to pick some of those up. Ephesians chapter 4, we'll be there in just a few moments. Our theme for the year, and ultimately what we're really going to build our ministry around as we go forward, is the idea of come, grow, serve. We spent 3 weeks together on the idea of come right after we got back from the service. I was going to preach this in March, but it didn't seem appropriate to preach a come message through video, right? So I just waited to do that until we got back. But just want to quickly review some of those things. We talked about the proclaimers of the church, that is, pastors and evangelists, and we'll reference that again briefly. We're going to be back in this passage this morning. We'll be back into it when we look at our serve idea, because all of them are right in this text of Scripture. We looked at the perfecting of the saints, and we'll talk about that again, connected to grow for sure. We looked at the perseverance of the church itself, the product of the church, or the production of the church, that they will continue to produce fruit, and then the performance of the church, that we're joined closely together. We looked at why even come to church to begin with. What is a church, if you will? Let's deal with that one first. What is a church? It's a divine institution. It's the depository of truth. It's the pillar and ground of the truth. That makes it really, really important. It's an assembly, or a gathering together. It's something that Jesus purchased with His own blood. Why do we come to church? Well, we come because God told us to. That would be enough, wouldn't it? We come because it helps us to grow. It's a community of believers. It's not just something that happens when we don't have anything else to do, or when it's inconvenient to us. We make it a priority to be here in every way. What should a church do for us? And not just in a consumer mentality, but a church should do a number of things. It should teach us the Word of God. It should allow us to be reminded of what God's doing around the world. It should build us up, edify us. It should provide a place wherewith we publicly pray together. It should rebuke and correct us. That's not our favorite thing to do, but it certainly should be a part of that. And then what do others do for us at church? Well, we love one another. We serve one another. We're like-minded together. We forgive one another. We make a commitment to each other as we move forward. What is my role in a church? Well, my role is to care for you, to feed you, to be an example, to protect you. And then we talked about membership and why that's important for us, why we should commit to a local church and what that means for us. We talked about the message, the unifying message of the gospel that makes this really, really an important aspect. So I'm not going to re-preach all of that, but it's really important that we come. But one of the reasons that we come to church is to grow. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Dean Taylor, in his book, The Thriving Church, The True Measure of Growth, says, your church should be growing. And it should be growing, in fact, thriving because of you. Each individual one of you. Because a church doesn't in and of itself grow because we as a corporate grow, though that will happen. A church grows because each individual person is growing. That's important. And that begs some questions. What is growth? In other words, how do we talk about growth? How do we measure growth? And we'll mention a few things here in just a minute. What causes growth? Am I helping or hindering my church's growth? How can I help my church be a growing body? For the church to grow, each individual member has to grow. Now let's look at our text of Scripture, and I want you to pick out the words that would indicate something about growing or along those lines. I think it's really interesting. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, teachers, for the perfecting of the saints. We'll look at that word in just a minute. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase, there's another interesting word, of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alien from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. And then he talks about the put off, renew, put on process. I want us to see first off this morning an explanation of growth, or an explanation of growing. Now, this morning, if I said to you, explain growth, what would you say? If I said it this way, how do you identify growth? Well, probably if you were thinking a little bit, it would cause you to immediately ask me some questions, right? Like, what are you talking about? I mean, are you talking about my bank account? I have no idea what growth is if it talks about bank account, right? Are you talking about kids? Are you talking about, you know, what exactly are we talking about? Most of the time, growth is not something that we observe moment by moment. Okay? Growth is generally observed when we take a step back and look at something. In other words, we don't necessarily see the growth happening, but it is taking place. Many of you know I love my yard. I love my plants. And I've got a couple of new things this year. Both of them were in the ground last year, but they were brand new. They weren't producing yet. One of them, if this was the base, it's probably standing about this high. But this spring, it came completely from under the ground. Like, it did not have a stem, all right? And it's already produced two flowers, which, again, may not seem like a significant thing for you, but they're rare, and they're absolutely breathtakingly beautiful. They're little, almost a hot red, if you will. Not really, it's red. Orange, between orange and red, would you say? Would you say red, baby? You would? Which probably means I don't have a clue what it really is. Anyway. But the flower is just beautiful. But you know what? I don't walk out every morning and water my flowers, which I did this morning. I haven't done a whole lot this week, which because we've gotten rain and stuff. But I don't walk out every morning and go, wow, that plant grew overnight. But I know that plant's growing because I moved some mulch, and it was a tiny, I mean a tiny, little, almost looked like a root thing. And now it's up here. And I have other plants that's that way. You as a parent may not see your child growing, but you know they are, because you have the little tick marks on the door, right? Where it's like, you're okay. Or a grandparent may go away, and you come back, and you're like, wow, did they ever take a growth spurt, you know? So sometimes growing or growth, it is hard for us to really put a measure on, if you will. If you're growing spiritually, how would you define that? How do you know that you're growing spiritually? That's a pertinent question, and the reason it is because God tells us to grow. So if you say, I don't have a clue how I would know I'm growing spiritually, then how do you know you're being obedient? It's pretty important for us to do. And how often are we to grow? Well, we're to be continually growing. Well, what if I'm really old? You're supposed to still be growing. Probably, it's going to be even less obvious the older, more mature you get. If you put an acorn in the ground, you can probably see the growth of that small oak tree fairly rapidly. But if an oak tree's been in the ground 100 years, you're not likely to be able to tell even from year to year that it's growing. But it is. If it's not, we've got problems. Okay? So what is an explanation of growth? Let's look at a couple of things here as we walk through this morning. We're not going to finish the message this morning, just so you know, you're thinking, wow, that's just introduction. You think that introduction was long, wait till the second service. That introduction is over half the message. Let's look at number one, the biblical words and what they mean. The biblical words really center on the idea of increase. Okay? Both the Hebrew word and the Greek words, really all of them center on the idea of increase. We'll look at some of those individual words later, but Psalms 92 and verse 12, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree, he shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. That word grow there simply means to grow or to increase. The parable of the wheat and the tares in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 30, let both grow together unto the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye therefore the first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Again, the word grow, or to increase. And we're going to look at words like grow or growth, increase, add, measure, abound. All these have to do with the idea of growing and a word that results from growth, and that's the word fruit. By the way, there's messages on the idea of fruit, and you could preach a series of messages on the fruit of the Spirit alone. But the idea of fruit in the Christian life is something that's really talked about quite a lot. The dictionary defines the word grow in a couple of interesting ways. The verb means to cause to grow, or, and listen to this now, or allow to grow. In other words, it's not just the agent that causes something to grow, but it's an environment that allows growth to take place. Now, there are some beautiful plants that I really enjoy that I don't bring from Florida to North Carolina. Why wouldn't I? Because the allow to grow would be a problem come winter. They just don't do real well here, all right? And yet there are some, if we would call them hardy plants, that would be up north that handle the cold temperature very well but would not handle the 10 months of summer in Florida. Because that's about what it is. Or 11, or whatever it might be in Florida. Okay, so it's, the idea is to cause to grow or to allow to grow. The noun means to increase by natural development as any living organism or part by assimilation of nutrients. Increase in size or substance. Okay, so it's not just the idea of size, but it can be substance as well. So growth, when we're talking about spiritually in our church, growth doesn't have to be numerical growth. However, numerical growth will almost always come as a result of substantive growth. And that's really important. Now, there are going to be times in a church that the church will not necessarily grow in numbers, but God is strengthening them in all kinds of other ways. Some synonyms for this idea of grow is develop or multiply or to swell or to enlarge or to expand or extend. All those things give the idea of growing. So growth should be measurable or noticeable eventually. It may not be noticeable immediately, but eventually you are to be able to say, by measurement, by whatever, oh, that's actually growing. We can figure that out as time goes on. So an explanation of growth. But let's look at number two, an environment to grow, or we could say the elements to make you grow, all right, or to allow you to grow, as that one definition does. And we'll refer to a number of things again. Number one, as we look at this environment or the element, I think both of those terms from different standpoints could be used here, and that is the church. That's why we say come, and that's why we go back to the passage in Ephesians chapter 4. We dealt with that in the come message. One of the reasons that we have pastors and evangelists and church is for us to grow. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13 again. Till we all come in the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This word perfect here means brought to its end, completeness, or get this, fully grown. That's what the word perfect means. Mature. Measure, the idea of measure in this passage, is an indication of growth as well in some ways. Hence the back of the door for the kids or whatever. We can see that. Oh, wow, this year you've done whatever. If we have something that we're working towards to attain, then we can tell, how do I measure up? Okay. Well, what is our measure of growth? Unto the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, it's interesting. God doesn't tell us that your measure of growth is someone else in this room. He tells us our measure of growth is Christ. All right, so let me ask you a question this morning. How many of you still have growing to do? The only people that don't are fully measured to Christ, which, just in case you don't know this, is none of you in this room, right? None of us, let's say it that way, right? It's impossible, right? But that's the measure. And that's important then, because so many times I find myself measuring myself against someone else. But that's not the measure. That's not where I go to. A lot of times, young boys in a home, do you know what their measurement is? The height of dad. Like, when can I get to dad? Both physically, can I wrestle dad? Can I put his arm down? How tall am I, dad? How tall am I? You know, all those kind of things. That's something that's just part of that being a man. You guys that are a little bit older, you reach a point where you just stop wrestling your son because you don't want to admit that he can probably beat you now. So therefore, you just don't ever let him wrestle you again, because whenever the last time was that you beat him, that's the last time. Right, because we can't let that happen. I understand that. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15 also gives us some specific things. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up. May grow up. And then he talks about, in the end of verse 16, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Do you know what's interesting? The word increase there is the exact same Greek word for grow. So it would be appropriate for us to say, may increase unto him in all things, under where the grow is in verse 15, or in verse 16 to say, may grow, maketh growth of the body unto the edifying itself. The New Testament uses both of those words. It speaks of inward Christian growth. Speaking the truth in love causes the body of Christ, the church, to grow. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 21 says, in whom all the body fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. In other words, God says that it's important that we grow together as we grow individually. Now please understand, you're individually responsible for your growth before God, but we also are responsible for each other's growth. And how we grow is going to impact other people's growth. It's a really interesting study. We won't have time to go into it all this morning. But you ought to look at some of the great trees some of the tallest trees in the world and so forth, and look at what's integral in their root system. Many of the largest trees in the world depend on each other for their root system. In other words, their roots are intertwined, so much so that they stand together, which is really, really interesting to me. This idea of fitly framed, Harold Hoyner says this, as the ancient masons used an elaborate process of fitting stones together, it is certain that God's grace carefully fits together persons with one another in order to bring inner unity that can allow them to grow together. In other words, this is important to understand now. In other words, God has placed people within this body to help us grow together. You're like, oh yeah, I can think of some people that are helping me grow. That's wonderful. It's a good thing. What about the person that's rubbing you the wrong way? Because God may have just brought that person into your life to teach you that there's some areas in your life that needs to change as well. Are you making church a priority, and are you growing as you interact with the ministries here? The Word of God is important. That leads us to number two, the Word. Not only do you need the church to grow, but you need the Word to grow. Again, let's look at the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby. The word desire there means to long for, to pursue with love. Matter of fact, the root word means to yearn for. I don't know if you've ever watched a baby go after breakfast or lunch or dinner or in the middle of the night or whatever. Our son Caleb particularly, I don't think I've ever watched anybody latch onto a bottle like that. I mean, if the bottle got close, his little mouth was wide open, and I mean, it was like, boom, and it would... We'd have to pop it out of his mouth. You know, it's like, calm down, boy, you know. Amazing. That's the idea, by the way, for this verse. That we desire the unmixed milk. That's what it is. It's the simple truths of God's Word. Just as that baby longs for milk and will let everyone know in its hearing if it doesn't get it. We desire God's Word. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Again, this word grow, to cause to grow, to augment, to increase. Grace and knowledge. Where do we get information about the grace and knowledge of God? From the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Ephesians 2, 7 through 9, that in the ages to come ye might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Listen, grace is not just salvation, though it is. It's a part of what we should be continuing to grow in. Because in the ages to come, we might show how incredible His grace was to us. And grace of God is a theme in the New Testament. And what about His knowledge? Where do we know about our God? From the Word of God. 1 John 2 and verse 3, and hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. Verse 5 of that same text, but whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. There's another growth type term, whereby know ye that we are in Him. In other words, this passage is great. How do we know? How do we measure ourselves? We measure ourselves by knowing God, by how obedient we are to Him. 1 John 3 and verse 24, and he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him. And hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us. Are you in the Word daily? Do you desire it? Are you growing in grace and knowledge? Because again, God told you to. Now, this is interesting. All of us will grow uniquely. There are some of you that you could take one verse, dissect it, dig into it, wring out truth out of it, and that, man, that you can chew on that all day long. And then there's some other people who, boy, if I just read one verse today, I'm going to feel totally ungodly throughout the day. You know, I need more than that, if you will. In other words, there's all kinds of areas of growth. There's some of us that need lots of water of the Word. There's some of us that need lots of milk of the Word. And others don't need quite as much to be able to grow. Now, please listen to me. I am not saying that you do not need it every day. I'm just saying, don't always measure yourself by someone else. What does God want you to do today to grow? You know what I'm discovering in my yard? That not all my plants need the same care. One of my favorite plants is a clematis. And I have killed multiple of them. And I'm just telling you, that doesn't usually happen. I rarely kill plants. And it's been quite an enigma. The Parkers gave me another clematis this year, planted it in a totally different place. Everything about it, all the leaves are turning brown on it. And I'm like, what is the deal? So I got this brilliant idea the beginning of this week. You know, maybe I'm giving it too much water. I thought, come on. Plants can't have too much water. I mean, not in this kind of heat. Do you know what I found out about a clematis? Maximum, you need water once a week. So guess what I figured out this week? Guess whose fault it is my clematis hadn't lived? Mine. I hadn't watered my clematis in a week. I sure hope I save it. I love those things. They're beautiful. So even my plants need different kind of tender care. I have some Gerber daisies in a pot in my front yard. If I don't water those every day and it's hot, by the end of the day, they're drooping. So learning what is needed is really important. Lastly, and then we have a special presentation this morning. I think the third area that we need in, and I want you to listen to me because we're going to look at some passages, and that is godly friends. Though not always, these many times will come from your local church body. And I'm not saying that's always the case, but many times it does. Now notice a couple of verses. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. This Greek word here is the same word plus a preposition. To increase beyond measure, to grow exceedingly is what the word means. And Paul is saying to this church at Thessalonica, they're growing, but what do you see what he clumps together with that? How they're loving each other. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but the God that giveth the increase. Again, same word for us. God takes what we do, what all of us do. Some plants, some waters. God gives the increase, but we need each other. I love what Taylor says in his book. A church full of people who are humbled in spirit and who serve one another, the third part of our theme we'll get to eventually, will grow in the fullness of Christ. But can I tell you, you need to be careful of your friends. Make sure that they are sharpening you in the right direction. Colossians chapter 2 talks about, let no man beguile you. Be careful. And he ends that saying, knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Again, those same words for growth. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 12, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. This word there means to superabound, to increase, to be in abundance in every way. Again, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 10. Indeed, ye do it toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more. You see, Paul is talking about this in the context of a local church and how we interact with each other. This is in the midst of a context of things that we should be growing in. Again, this word increase, abundance, to overflow into another, abundantly furnish. So the question is, do your friends draw you closer to God or away from Him? And you need the church to grow. You need the word to grow. You can get that here and at home, but you need them. You need godly friends to sharpen iron with in life. Paul calls all this together a body of believers. He uses that term both in Ephesians and in other passages of Scripture. What an amazing truth it is about our body and how he wants it to function together. Notice just a few fascinating facts about a body. Each one of the human body's 30 trillion cells. Let that sink in just a minute. 30 trillion cells is a chemical factory which performs about 10,000 chemical functions. Your calculator doesn't go that far. Every cell has 10 to the 12th power, so 1 trillion bits of data, equal to every letter in 10 million books. Every one of your 30 trillion cells individually has that. The body's 206 bones provide the framework, and its 639 muscles enables it to move with incredible split-second timing. I doubt that last one for some of us, but nevertheless, I think the point is still there. Okay? Depends on how old you are and what's chasing you, all right? Our body is controlled and coordinated by over 16 billion neurons and 120 trillion connection boxes packed together into an unfathomable complex system of neuropassageways. The system is much like a modern nation, interconnected by billions of telephone wires. Our heart beats 100,000 times a day to move blood 168 million miles around our body. We take about 23,800 breaths per day to bring in about 438 cubic feet of air into our lungs. The skin alone has about 4 million structures which are sensitive to pain. In addition, it has about 500,000 sensitive to touch and 200,000 to temperature. You amazed yet at your God? It's as significant that Paul says we're a body fitly joined together. When you think you don't need the body, you're in big trouble. You desperately need it. So are you allowing the body to function? And are you doing your part in growing? Now, Lord willing, next week we'll look at the extension of growth, that is, adding. We're going to look at the passage in 2 Peter chapter 1, add to your faith. And then we're going to look at the evidence of growth, and that's fruit. We're going to look at a ton of passages that talk about fruit in our life that will help us. That'll be 2 weeks from today because Brother Ronnie Doss will be in this service here. Let's pray and then I'll tell you what we're going to do to close the service. Father, thank you for your word. We so desperately need this. And for many of us, we knew these things. We just need to be reminded of them. Help us to apply these things to our hearts and lives. And we love you. In your name we pray.